Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to the Patriots with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Red Sox made a trade in the last half hour or so. Sonny Gray, now a Boston Red Sox, 36 years old, 14-8 ERA in the fours last year.
You know what his nickname is?
Oh, I don't. I saw he's a tiny little bit of a guy. He's only 5'10". What's his nickname?
Pickles.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Itty Bitty Gray. That's what I thought he was going to be called.
No, Pickles.
Pickles?
Yeah, they call him Pickles.
Do they?
I mean, I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, right there on his baseball reference. Yeah. Full name, Sonny Douglas Gray. Nickname, Pickles.
Call him Pickles. Good get. I gotta be honest,
I like that.
Like it even more.
A little bit more. I think. So he is on his way to the Red Sox on the way out, because people are asking on the text line. We've said it a handful of times. On the way out, Dick Fitz and Brandon Clark, number 5 prospect in the Red Sox organization. Cardinals are also eating $20 million. So that changes it. I thought the Red Sox initially were on the hook for $31 million in salary plus a $10 million buyout. You may not care about the money, but John Henry absolutely does. $41 million spent on this player. You go, well, what else are they going to have to spend? And now the Cardinals are eating $20 million. I feel a little bit different. It's $21 million for Sonny Gray this year.
Yeah.
To be...
Doesn't mean he's the number two.
No, a Lucas Giolito upgrade?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so what else do they have up their sleeve? Are they going to sign a big bat or two? Will they add another pitcher? Joe Ryan, potentially still out there. We'll see. More on that coming up. But joining us every Tuesday at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And by Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping and get rewarded. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Not a baseball town. It's not a baseball town.
Well,
it's not a baseball town.
I mean, not the way the Patriots are playing. And yet, they suffered some injuries in what I would call an underwhelming performance for the Cincinnati Bengals. Look, the one seed is always important. The bye week is important. Advancing deep into the postseason can correlate with that. Do you think there's a, well, heightened need for that one seed, given some of the injuries, Milton Williams a week ago, and now two on the offensive line, for the Patriots to get healthier and go on a run?
I don't know if it's heightened. I think under any circumstances, the Patriots positively 100% prior to anybody getting hurt really needed the one seed, not just for the bye, but for the opportunity to play whoever you're playing at home. You know, they've been unbelievably fortunate in terms of injuries, whether that be the way Vrabel managed them from July until almost Thanksgiving, or the training staff, or good fortune, or the teams they've played, or the command that they've had in games. They've been really fortunate, but it's inevitable that every single season you're going to have a spate of injuries, and the spate hit them, and they've still been fortunate. Antonio Gibson's loss for the year, I think he would have been a real contributor, especially as we see really what's kind of a D running game, which they have, which we can get into. But they're lucky. They're fortunate. So you want the bye week, but I don't think it radically changes necessarily how they approach this. This is all gravy. I mean, for God's sake, they're 10-2. They won 12 games over the previous 3 years combined.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a strike while the iron's hot type of mentality when you see sort of the landscape of the AFC, and so you don't want to just, you know, split the remaining games and, you know, go out wild card weekend. I mean, there should be a little bit more.
You don't want to, but the likelihood is they could. I would be surprised if they lose three in a row. Excuse me. I don't expect them to, but I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if they lost to the Giants.
Wow.
Ooh.
I would. Scale of 1 to 85, Keith.
Oh, 84.
80.
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
Two? Something like that.
Giants
okay. So
Giants are rough.
So, wow. Okay. So, you don't.
I don't expect it. Again,
no,
I don't expect
it. You just wouldn't be surprised. I got it.
So, when whatever friend of mine retweets that.
Yeah. Brian, clip that. Yeah.
He aggregates it.
Don't quote his quotes. Don't do that. Tom, do you have a theory as to, and maybe you mentioned with the running game, the issues they've had in the red zone and in the goal line at putting the ball in the end zone?
They have had their warts masked by Drake May routinely, and it happens in the middle of the field, and it happens at the goal line most significantly. They're 25th, I believe, scoring in the red zone. They're like close to 27th, and I might be butchering that, on scoring in goal-to-go situations. On third and one or two, they're around 50% running the football. That's friggin' horrendous. 50% on third and one or two. Do you know what they are on third and 11 to 15 throwing the ball?
Ooh.
They're close to 50%.
I was going to say probably the same.
They're close to 50%. There's no friggin' difference. So, to me, what we've seen is a team that was put together in the offseason with some spare parts from other teams, with some hope at the tackle and guard position on the left side, with hope at the right tackle and center position. They've been great, but don't overestimate the quality or the physical dominance of these guys. I shouldn't say quality. They're not blowing people off the line. The running backs are fine-ish, but they're just not a good running team, period. And people need to realize that, I think, and reconfigure expectations for how much they're going to do. I don't even know, when you think about it, guys, what would you do? Do you feature Stephon Diggs in the red zone?
Well, because I was going to say, you just highlighted.
It took him four downs to get there.
I mean,
when you think about that, though, it took him four downs to score a touchdown with Stephon Diggs at the end in Tampa Bay with a half a second left on the clock before halftime. It had to be the most ridiculously perfect throw and an insanely good catch. They don't get anything easy down there.
No, they don't.
It's true. I mean, but I would say if you're
the
McDaniels,
tight ends, maybe.
Yeah, if you're McDaniels, throw it more. If you can't run in that spot, throw it more. And if you're gonna run it, don't run with Terrell Jennings and Ramondre Stevenson. Run with Henderson would be my vote on that. But that does.
Like they pulled every lever.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you say they ran nine plays? They did about nine different things.
Yeah. Did Henderson have one at the goal line? He got down to the goal line. I don't think he did. Jennings had one, and Stevenson had two. And yeah, I mean, I would get your best back on the field. But it does segue
any
into
fantasy team.
No, I don't.
Oh, he's just the best back they have.
I don't own shares of Travion Henderson. No, just the way he ran down by the goal line against the Jets would have swayed me.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yep. It's time for this week's Drake Take, brought to you by Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. What was wrong with Drake at the beginning of the game, in your estimation?
I don't think he came out with a lot of urgency. I think he came out kind of in a rocking chair mentality. I'm going to go easy here. I'm not going to get myself overramped. I'm going to swing easy off the tee, hit some fairways. And then because he was playing a little bit more easily, he was making mistakes. And he kind of admitted that, said I need to rip the ball. And that's what it looked like to me. If you look at the first, not each of the first eight attempts, but some of the misses, he was kind of just standing upright, and I'm not looking for him to do a soft shoe back there. I mean, there's a happy medium, but it just didn't feel urgent. I remember I was watching the game with Michael Hawley, and I said that on just the first couple throws. I'm like, he just doesn't seem very urgent. And I'm not thinking that he thought it was going to be an easy game or he was taking it easy or not into it. That was just the first impression, that it didn't feel as if he was attacking the plays and the opportunities.
What's the bigger loss over the next few weeks, you think? Milton Williams or Will Campbell?
Whew, good question. Maybe Milton Williams, because you might see a more precipitous drop in the rushing defense than you will see on the offensive line. You know, Vidarian Lowe's not going to go from zero he's not going to be zero of Will Campbell. He might be 65%. He might be 75%. He might be 80% of Will Campbell, but he's not going to drop to zero. I think we already saw the significance of Milton Williams and then Kyrus Tonga being out the other day when they just got dashed. I mean, Cincinnati got kind of whatever they wanted on the ground. So I would be more concerned about that because you're going into a part of your schedule where teams are a little bit better. So, again, it's Baltimore, Buffalo, and the Giants who just have had two competent offensive games in a row. It's not a layup.
Okay. Tom E. Curran, every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tom E. Tuesday with Tom E. Curran at NBC Sports Boston. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI afternoons and all over NBC Sports Boston as well. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You
Happy
too,
Thanksgiving, Tom.
Tom. Enjoy yourself.
You can check out his work at Tom E. Curran on Twitter. Maybe a Giants loss this week.
You wouldn't be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
Not predicting it.
No.
Brian, don't you dare clip it.
Nope. Don't think about it.
Not predicting it, but wouldn't rule it out.
Okay.
Which is covering a lot of, that's Brian Hoyer-esque. That's covering a lot of bases.
That is true. I still like the Patriots. I understand they've had some injuries, as have the Giants. I don't know if you've noticed. Malik Nabers, Cam Scataboo.
Yeah.
Probably Jackson Dart. We'll see. Maybe Jackson Dart returns. Pats are opening up as 7.5-point favorites.
Nice.
At home.
I get that McDaniel spun the dial down there, but yeah. I would maybe give it to your best running back down there.
There's a lot of, me too. There's a lot of kind of like just pouring water on the rest of the season, being like, yeah, I know they're 10-2, but like, let's just call it a season.
Yeah, well, I would agree. If you asked me in August, I'd be like, yeah, 10-2 is great. I don't care what's going on. Yeah, I'll take it. But we're not in August.
No.
We're watching the team, and the one seed is in their grasp. So yeah, they should.
They're just as good as everybody else.
Yeah, that's what
now, part of that is all these other teams that we thought going into the season that were going to be really good, maybe they aren't. Fine. Whatever the equation is,
sure.
It's kind of like an equal playing field right now in the AFC. So I'm not going to look at it and be like, oh, it's simply house money. So like if they lose out, they'll be 10-7, which was my like optimistic expectation on the season, right?
Yeah.
But if they lose out, like how insane would that be?
I would not like how they got there.
No.
I would have been okay with it in August, but how the way they got there wouldn't be promising. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up. You can also text. A lot of the text line is, way ahead of the curve on the brag of the week, I think. The good submission there from Curran.
People have an ear for it.
Which
now.
We'll get to. Meanwhile, we'll also get to the Sonny Gray trade that the Red Sox made. Rob Bradford. WEEI and Baseball Isn't Boring is going to join
Bradford.
Us coming up about 15 minutes from now, 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on the trade. We got Kiefer Madness. We got Anfernee Jennings. So jam-packed here. Any developing thoughts on Sonny Gray? I've dug in on a couple of numbers here.
I've dug in on why they call him Pickles.
Oh, so, good. Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. I buried the lead.
So this is more important. So his nickname is Pickles, and apparently it comes from a combination of his fondness for pickles.
He likes pickles.
Loves pickles.
That makes sense. Was he a fan of Tommy Pickles?
I don't know. We could ask him.
All right, good.
And when he pitched for the Oakland A's, he frequently pitched when the team wore their alternate green jerseys. So then they had Players Weekend, and the team, remember they get to put names on the back? And so his teammates were like, you should be Pickles. And he was like, fine. And so he went as Pickles.
So he should pitch in the green uniform.
He should wear. I mean,
the Red Sox look good in the green uniform.
The city connects.
Yeah. Get him.
So that makes all the sense in the world. So 36.
That's probably why they got him. They're like, we got these new green uniforms. They look like $1 million. Who loves green? Pickles.
Pickles. So he pitches exclusively at home on Friday nights.
Yes.
Yeah. That works.
That's fine. If they go 6-man rotation, you could probably figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. It's
making over $1 million.
The Japanese leagues. That's what they do. Everybody 6-man rotation. They all pitch once a week. Sonny Gray's day is Friday when they're at home.
Old Hass Rodburn. Yeah. Turn it over in his grave. But no, Sonny Gray, the big acquisition. They trade Brandon Clark, their 5th-ranked prospect, and Richard Fitz for $21 million of Sonny Gray. The Cardinals are picking up $20 million. Red Sox are picking up $21 million for one season. I think it's a good addition overall. But once again, this is going to be graded either more harshly if this is like the main thing they do, or if this is a compliment of like three other moves and you're like, look at this.
I kind of think Carrabba's nailed it. He said, odd Gray trade. On the one hand, you need a guy who can give you innings. He could do that. On the other, Breslow said the Red Sox are targeting a number 2 starter. Gray is not that. He's also quite expensive. It's less expensive than when Kraub has tweeted this. They're on the hook for $21 million. He says, I'd rather spend that elsewhere. If this is a supplemental move to big moves this offseason, it's a great move.
Mm-hmm.
If this is one of, call it two big moves, this is your big pitching move, and you're signing one big bat, bringing in Bregman, adding Pete Alonso.
Well, if you're just re-signing Bregman and then bringing in Sonny Gray, then no. But if you're getting Sonny Gray, a real middle-of-the-lineup bat, and let's even say another pitcher, then, like, that's awesome.
Okay, that's
a
great
offseason.
But I'm saying, if it's one bat and Sonny Gray, whoever that bat is, that's not enough. It's just not.
But you know what I kind of like about this, and this might speak to the sort of the philosophy, is it's not just, hey, the Red Sox have so many good young players, like there's no urgency. Signing a 36-year-old does suggest that you're trying to win next season.
Trading your number five prospect.
Yeah.
You know, look who's on the other side of this trade.
Oh, I'm all excited about it.
Bloom is like stoked to get the number five prospect.
Yeah. Yeah,
Breslow's not afraid to trade the number five prospect. He's traded bigger prospects
than
that.
Like he could literally be a one-and-done player, and so you're not just trying to line up players with Roman Anthony and Meyer and Crochet and Rafaela. You're like, no, we also could use... We could bring in a guy in his mid-30s if he pitches his tail off.
I mean, look, you guys might not like Breslow, and that's fine. He's eons better than Bloom.
That's not for debate.
This trade, to me, highlights it. This is everything I hated about Bloom and what I do like about Breslow, but are they going to be reined in by John Henry's spending? We'll see. 617-779-7937. By the way, somebody texted this. I can't believe Sonny Gray, in his career, which he's 36 years old, he's been in the bigs forever.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's only made 7 starts at Fenway Park. He pitched in the AL East for a year and a half. He's only made 7 starts at Fenway Park. He was in the American League for a long time, A's and Twins. Thank you.
The last time he was in the American League, he was the runner-up for the Cy Young.
How about that?
Pretty good.
0-4, 684 ERA at Fenway.
Well, that was some good Sox lineups.
He had to face Mookie.
He has allowed... I was looking at the wrong line. I was like, 29 home runs. Now, that's at Great American Ballpark. 2 home runs and 26 and a third, so that's actually not terrible. I was also looking at his splits from a year ago.
Right.
He is he's a... A year ago, a much better pitcher against lefties.
Oh, reverse splits.
Well, last year he was.
All right.
Righties hit him at a 282 clip, 788 OPS. Lefties were 245, 668. For his career, though, that's much more even. He's actually basically even against both. 238 all right. righties, 228 against lefties. So that's not as alarming in his career. Reverse splits, though, last year for Sonny Gray. So, yeah, what if Brian was in here in the last break? We were saying if it's Sonny Gray and two bats, which I don't necessarily think is realistic, but I'm trying to tell you what I'd be happy with. Bregman and Alonso plus Sonny Gray, great offseason.
I'll take it.
What if it were one of the bats, your pick, Bregman or Alonso? I think your pick is Alonso out of those
two. I'd rather
have
Alonso.
Mine is Bregman, but whatever, I like both.
Wrong.
What if it's Gray, Joe Ryan, and a bat?
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot, too.
Me, too.
I love that.
My preference would be two bats instead of two arms.
Yeah.
But you want to lean in on pitching, and now it's Crochet, Ryan, Bayo, Gray, in whatever order. Like, I could get on board with that.
Yeah, that's nasty. That's like the Dodgers rotation.
But
you just start adding like all kinds of studs.
But is this all wishful thinking?
Yes.
And is this just something that's never going to happen? And the more likely scenario is it's going to be Bregman back with Sonny Gray, and that's going to feel pretty effing underwhelming.
The reason why. And, you know, I fully admit maybe I could be taking the cheese a little bit here. But the reason why it's a little bit more believable this go around is because the plan that you and I have and a lot of fans have isn't this year's version of Juan Soto, which people were talking themselves into last year, which just seemed like impossible. They were not going to sign Juan Soto. And that's why you hear more people talking about Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber and not Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, who actually didn't even have a good second half, but he's the guy that's projected to make $300-400 million. That's not in the equation. So you could sign one of those big bats that's not going to have a huge long-term contract, so almost like this year's version of Bregman, which you did sign last year. And then there might be another trade, sort of this year's version of Crochet. And you wouldn't have to give up as much for Joe Ryan as Crochet, I wouldn't think, but in line with that. So two things that Breslow has already done. Signed a player in his 30s, for 3 years at huge average annual value and made a trade for a pitcher. So I think it is somewhat realistic.
It's a good point. This is a bit of an all in is too strong, but it's an aggressive for this year, trying to win games, going for it type of move. I mean, it is that.
Yeah.
Now they could certainly go more all in, but adding a 36-year-old to the front end of your rotation, although is he truly a front end of the rotation starter?
I mean,
does show some urgency. I'll grant you that. Our buddy Rob Bradford, who's going to join us coming up about 10 minutes from now, he wrote the following, weei.com. While Gray is a perceived top of the rotation option for the Red Sox.
That doesn't sound like a sure thing.
He wouldn't seem to be the caliber of starting pitcher Craig Breslow was hinting at acquiring to the team up front with ace Garrett Crochet.
Okay.
The three-time All-Star is reliable, having pitched 180 and two-thirds innings last year while making at least 28 starts in each of the past 3 years. In 2025, he went 14-8, 4.28 ERA, blah, blah, blah. Struck out 201 and walked just 38. He led the National League in strikeout-to-walk ratio a year ago, which
is good.
That's
nothing to sneeze at.
He did have a line in here, too, about Brandon Clarke.
All right.
Who is the biggest prospect moving in the deal.
He's a pitcher.
Clarke had been ranked as the Red Sox number five prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. He was a fifth-round pick in 2024. So, actually, that was a Breslow pick. That wasn't even a Bloom pick. He started strong last year with single-A Salem before struggling with a 5.08 ERA in Greenville. So, maybe the shine's off him a little bit.
Is that the Salem... Yaks? Where are they now?
Ridge Yaks?
The Ridge Yaks. That's them now.
That's the Ridge Yaks. Yeah. Well, he never got to pitch for them, unfortunately.
Sadly.
Yeah,
sadly.
Gone too soon. 617-779-7937. We'll get Brad Foe's thoughts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thoughts on this trade? It's Rob Bradford here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. He is presented by McFarland Energy. Brad Foe, I don't want to keep you waiting. We want to get you right in. How's everything going?
Oh, it's great, man. Was Sonny Gray going to be your random baseball player of the day today?
Not today.
Spoiler alert.
You mean Pickles?
We had to punt on that. We were just reading the latest from Brad Foe up now on WEEI. You can follow him on Twitter at Brad Foe. Of course, baseball isn't boring. I like this line in here from you, Rob. The three-time All-Star is reliable, and while Gray is a perceived top-of-the-rotation option for the Red Sox, he wouldn't seem to be the caliber of starting pitcher Craig Breslow was hinting at earlier this offseason. So what do you make of the trade?
I only deal in facts. Those are facts. First of all, you can't. I don't think you can really criticize the Red Sox for the trade because it does what everybody wants them to do, which is try to win in 2026. Like, there is that is undeniable when it comes to looking at this trade. You took on, you know, a fair amount of money. Now, I know they're getting $20 million back, but still, you're still paying a pretty decent chunk. You're giving up two guys who might be major league, probably are major leaguers, and you're getting a guy for 1 year. I mean, 1 year. So, and he's part of the solution, not part of the problem. Now, where I wrote that, and this has to be part of the conversation, is this the guy that Craig Breslow was talking about, the GM meetings, to walk side by side, hand in hand, with Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation? And he's not. I mean, that's not where Sonny Gray is at this point in his career. 2 years ago? Yeah, 2023, that guy? Sure. But not the guy that we saw last year. That doesn't mean he's a bad pitcher. That doesn't mean he can't be a number three starter. But still, like, that's not this guy. So that's what we sort of have to wait and see. But I think ultimately what you have to look at this trade, like, hey, good for them. I don't think they gave up guys who are really going to hurt you down the road. And even if you do, so what? So what? Don't you want to win now? And this helps you win now.
And really just an upgrade over, you know, best friend of the show, Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
Like,
dare,
fair to say.
How dare you?
He had a good year, but he's just, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Sonny Gray gets the ball and goes. And for 1 year, roughly that price tag, is that kind of what we're looking at here?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. And I think the problem is that everybody, and this, they sort of paint them in, themselves into this corner by saying, we're not worrying about 3 through 10. We're worrying about 1 and 1.5. And so what, everybody's so focused on getting that guy, like I said, the Joe Ryan guy, and we're going to have to see if they get him. But I don't know how you can really criticize him too much, because this is the type of trade where I would scream and yell, like, why wouldn't you do it? I don't want to, like, be clinging to prospects. I don't want to be clinging to the idea that Richard Fitz someday is going to be a number three starter, or Brandon Clark is going to pop off out of nowhere. Maybe they will. I don't know. But all I know is what you have now is a World Series contending team if everything breaks the right way and you keep adding to them. So that's what they did. They kept adding to it.
So, yeah, I like this trade. I'm curious, how do you think Sonny Gray stacks up compared to guys like Dylan Cease and Framber Valdez, who are free agents, and some of the other names that we've been brought up before, like Mackenzie Gore, Hunter Green, Sandy Alcantara? Do you put him in that same realm, or is he below those guys? How do you rank him?
It's to me, Rich, it's two different buckets, honestly. One, because of the age. I mean, yeah. Happy birthday to Sonny Gray. Just turned 36 on November 7th.
Happy birthday, Pickles.
Yeah, Pickles. There you go.
This season, because I understand your point. Like, Dylan Cease is going to be a lot of years and a lot of money.
Yeah,
but, like, for the 26th season, is he as...
No, he doesn't have the up. Does he have the upside that a Dylan Cease does, a Mackenzie Gore does? No, but what he does have is sort of that reliability. You mentioned Giolito, same sort of deal. That reliability that the guy pitched, 32 games last year. The last 3 years, he's pitched at least 28. In 2023, he was that elite guy, but that was 2023. I think that you still are looking for the upside guy. And that's the Cease, that's the Gore, and, you know, maybe they blow up, but I think this is a very, very reliable guy. And you mentioned Giolito. I'll mention, like, another one, you know, what maybe they thought they were going to get in Walker Buehler, which they clearly didn't,
but
they needed this is a guy who's not going to walk guys, who's pitched in big games, who's going to give you innings, who is going to give you good starts. But, you know, is he going to win the Cy Young? No, probably not. But still, like, that's okay. I still think that you got to go after the upside guy, because, you know what? That's what they said they were going to go after, the upside guy.
Okay, well, I agree with all this, and I agree this move in a vacuum, like, I'll give up prospects for a guy who can help you right now. And I think, by the way, Brandon Clark had been ranked 5th in the organization, but Baseball America came out with their top 10 yesterday. There's a bunch of pitchers who have passed him by. Peyton Tolley, Connolly Early, their first-round pick a year ago, Kyson Witherspoon, Perales, Valera, like a bunch of pitchers have passed him by. So fine, okay, you're dealing a guy who might not even be a top 10 prospect. I'm fine with all that. I will push back on you saying there's no downside to the trade or nothing to be upset about with the trade. I'm not going to fault Baseball Ops. I like what Baseball Ops did. Is ownership looking at this as like a big splashy move? Here's $20 million we're spending because the Cardinals are, or $21 million, the Cardinals are eating the other 20. Is ownership going to look at this as one of their big moves, or is this just a small move in a bigger offseason? That's the main thing I'm wondering about, because if this is just one small move and they're getting some of the names you said, Dylan Cease or Mackenzie Gore, and they're adding bats in free agency, great. If this is a big move on the pitching side with one bat, that's not going to be enough.
Well, ultimately, it's not that big a move financially. It's like, this is Walker Buehler. And so, did we say that about Walker Buehler last year? No. So the answer is, there's no possible way they could view this as, oh, this is one of the big moves. And it comes back to what we said before, guys, is that if we're going to look at the debt, we cannot forget the Rafael Devers trade, because that trade was the foundation of it, was the money coming back. How are you going to spend the money? They will not definitively say, this is how we're going to spend the money, but still, at the end of the offseason, you want to see them spend the money. And this doesn't chip into that at all, I don't think. To answer your question, no. This isn't a John Henry is going to be smoking a cigar in front of the fireplace move.
Okay,
right?
Good. No.
I mean, that's the best way to classify it.
Let's
this
hope not.
This
I would
isn't
rule nothing
an Instagram-worthy John Henry move.
Yeah, okay, I would rule nothing out with him, but that admittedly makes me feel better. Yeah,
yeah, so how many guys do you think, if Sonny Gray is going to be paid $21 million by the Red Sox, how many new players will make more than that on the team next year?
I think two.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, the
okay.
guys that you're so going to get in this offseason, you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're still going to get a bat and you're still going to get a pitcher. Like, I still think that. And now, you know, you're hearing about relief pitchers. I do think, to come back to what we can learn from this move, is that this is clearly a, hey, 2026 is an important year. We have to keep moving forward, because as much as we say, oh well, Richard Fitz, Brandon Clark, listen, the guy who was just traded for Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark might not have made this trade because he liked Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark too much. There is that element of prospect hugging in baseball which drives everybody crazy, and we know what Richard Fitz is, but Brandon Clark is, he's the ultimate guy where you look at and say, oh, yeah, look it. He's throwing almost 100. He was a fifth-round pick, but he came out of spring training like gangbusters. He started the year like gangbusters. And we're just going to ignore that he had over 5 ERA in Greenville and couldn't throw strikes because he's still a work in progress, which might be true. But that's no reason to hang on to him when you can get a guy that actually can help you for 2026.
I'm curious, the reported interest, and this came out this morning from Ken Rosenthal, the reported Red Sox interest in JT Realmuto, and is that going to be one of their big targets this offseason? That also feels underwhelming.
I don't know if it's underwhelming, but it's odd. It's just, I know that they want that bat. They like the leadership. Realmuto is still a really, really good catcher, but you're sitting there with Carlos Narvaez as, you know, a really, really good catcher as well, who's a lot younger. So if you're going to allocate resources to Realmuto, that one just seemed odd. Now, we all know that, you know, this time of year, if someone expresses interest, it becomes a big deal. And we just have to figure out the level of interest it is. We saw the same thing at the GM meetings with the relievers, with the Devin Williams of the world. Well, are they actually making this a priority or aren't they? Hey, they might trade for real, or I'm sorry, sign Realmuto tomorrow, and we're all diving into this. Why did they do this? But why we're trying to figure out that report and why they would do this, that's a much, much tougher one for me, certainly, than why they might go after the end of the bullpen type of guy.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. Check out his work, weei.com. Listen to him on Baseball Isn't Boring. I'm sure Sonny Gray will be on there in no time. And you can follow him on Twitter at Bradfo as well. Rob Bradford, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Guys, thank you so much. Have
thank
a great
you.
Thanksgiving.
You too.
We didn't want to make Enjoy Rob yourself. Wait there. I know.
Got right to him.
We wanted to get right to him, not beat around the bush whatsoever. Real quick, I want to go to Justin in D.C., waiting patiently. Right. Justin, your subject line says, Red Sox offseason already a failure. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, man, I am so pissed. And then listening to Bradfo, who told us all year that the Red Sox were going to be big buyers at the trade deadline, and have him come out and say that they're going to make another move for a number two pitcher, I just hear all the BS propaganda, and it really pisses me off. The Red Sox right now with this great trader at $230 million spending CBT-wise, the bracket is going to be $244, and they spent $246 last year. So I'm a rational human being. I know that this ownership group doesn't spend. I would be thrilled if they spent $20 million more than they did last season on this team this offseason. And if they go and do that, that means they have $40 million to spend on two big bats, a number two pitcher, and two bullpen arms after this trade. We can't look at this trade in a vacuum. Sonny Gray is closer to a number four than he is a number two. This is Craig Breslow saying, I can't get a number two, so we're going to put lipstick on this pig that is so old it's about to retire, and then we're going to have to fill in everything else. I think they're going to miss the playoffs if this is their number two, Rich and Keith.
Ooh.
Me twice.
Yeah.
Oink, oink.
Well, he was fired up, and he tried to land the play in there. That's fine.
I'm worried about some of the things he's worried about. I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Can be, and I love the passion, but like that sounds like Ryan has already been traded, Alonzo signed somewhere else, Bregman left. That's what that sounds like, which could happen, but none of it has. There hasn't really been any real big moves to speak of. This is one of the biggest moves so far in the baseball offseason, and Sonny Gray, we're comparing to Giolito, but Walker Buehler is a good one too. They signed Walker Buehler last year. I was an idiot. I was like, oh, that's a good signing. He might be pretty good. He was trash, but it was that type of money.
I liked it too, yeah.
So like maybe Sonny Gray will be bad, but maybe he'll be good. They've taken on a bunch of pitchers, and they've given them decent money. Some of them just a rehab, like James Paxton, Patrick Sandoval is the most recent one. So they've had some veteran-type guys. I think this is similar to Chapman in a way where when it's the first move, it's the one that's going to get picked apart. It's
stands
like,
out.
Is this what the offseason is going to be? Because the time that they signed Chapman, we didn't even know he was going to be the closer. We thought Liam Hendricks was coming back. So we're like, is Chapman a setup guy? That's a lot of money for a setup guy.
Oh, I think we were
and then
like,
he ended up being nails.
We had the best season of his career. I was like, there's no way he's the closer. He's definitely a setup guy. Wrong.
So I like Sonny Gray. I will feel the way Justin feels if they miss out on Alonzo, Bregman, Joe Ryan, et cetera. If that's the only guy you get, yeah, that'd be like last year. If you only got Walker Buehler and you didn't get Crochet or Bregman, then you'd have that every right to freak out.
Here's the thing. Sonny Gray makes them better. They're better today than they were a day ago by adding Sonny Gray. He's an upgrade on Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
Like, all that's fine. If the Sonny Gray addition, Bradfo disagrees with Justin in D.C.
He does.
No offense, Justin. I'm going to side with Bradfo on this. If this prevents them from other signings, which I think is a realistic fear, and this is some of their significant payroll they're going to add, then I look at the trade differently. But if it's just a Walker Buehler-type signing, 1 year, 20-ish million, and they're going to go out and bring in a bat and add another starter or bring in a couple of bats, well, then fine. I'll look at this a lot differently and much more favorably. 617-779-7937. More your phone calls on this. We've been talking about it for most of the day. At some point, we're going to have to update those dog tiers. People are waiting, Keith, for the dog breeds. That may have to be an off-air thing with
an
all the breaking news today.
Dog breed tier?
Might have to do
fine.
That. Meanwhile, we got the madness. Keith for madness on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, next.
On Victor Place in the city of Buffalo, where did this come from?
The four allegedly got into a fight and a gun was fired. Investigators do not know if the bullets caused any injuries.
NBC 10's Sam Reed shows us something naughty but good.
And there goes the python.
All right, here we go. Time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We go down to North Carolina for this story. It is not a Bill Belichick Jordan story.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with that. But maybe
Josina Anderson is saying he's back, Keefe. He's going to get a lot of interest in the NFL, is what she's reporting.
Maybe three teams are going to be interested
in
Bill Belichick.
Believable report, yeah.
So there's only two teams that have interim coaches right now.
So you're telling me that the Giants and the Titans are going to be interested, right? It's those two teams?
Apparently. Yeah, know. I guess. Yeah, good point. That is her way of saying that. Yeah, true.
I think it would be a mistake. But anyway, this is sort of a PSA 4 bill in Jordan, everybody down in North Carolina.
Okay.
28-year-old Melissa Schlarb was traveling east.
Schlarb?
Schlob?
No, Schlarb.
That's it.
Let's hear it again.
28-year-old Melissa Schlarb was traveling east.
I'm hearing Watch Schlob. Yeah. Like a slob.
Melissa Schlarb was
I think we're saying Schlarb. I think her name is Schlarb.
All right, sorry.
All right, that's fine.
28-year-old Melissa Schlarb was traveling eastbound here on 74, coming this direction from her home in Robbinsville. She was heading into Cherokee to her bank job.
A lot of information here, yeah. A lot of roads again. The local news loves to give you the exact
heading
location.
Heading into Cherokee to her bank job.
She was standing. This is an on-field reporter starting the story. She's standing in front of, like, street signs, like, on the road wearing, like, a reflective vest.
Nice.
Just to be like, she was driving this way. Here's this road over to this road. She's a banker. She was going to her bank job.
We have any info? She didn't give much info on the bank. She's just like, no. To her bank. All this info she gives.
What bank?
Yeah, well, I would like to know.
How much money did she make before taxes?
This direction from her home in Robbinsville. She was heading into Cherokee to her bank job, traveling in the left lane. She says it unfolded in seconds.
Nice.
What do you think? Yeah, not bad.
Okay.
Wednesday was supposed to be a normal morning for Melissa Schlarb.
Schlarb?
Schlarb.
Are we saying Schlarb?
As Dice said on the text line, stump the Schlarb.
That was a great show.
Good show. I like
a really
that show.
Good show. Yeah, yeah. R.I.P. Schlarb,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, yeah, R.I.P.
Sadly.
Yeah,
Wednesday,
doing trivia in the sky.
Normal-
That's what he's doing, the Schlarb.
That was a good program.
It was ahead of its time.
I like
yeah.
that.
Wednesday was supposed to be a normal morning for Melissa Schlarb.
So, I mean, I drive that road every single morning. I did see the bald eagle coming from a distance, and I'm not used to seeing them there. So I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
Seconds later, this.
I realized it had something with it. Once I realized it was a cat that it had, it barely had a hold on it, and it dropped it right on my windshield.
Cat through the windshield.
Wow.
Bald eagle. That's cool. What's it holding? Oh, it's a cat through my windshield.
I assume she was just going to be distracted looking at the
oh,
beautiful
bald
creature.
Eagle, be amazing.
And then just crash. No, a cat right through the windshield.
The face of America flying in the sky. You get a glimpse of it. Normal Wednesday, or so you thought. Cat through the windshield.
Oh, boy.
At such velocity, smashed through the... It didn't bounce off the windshield. It smashed through the windshield.
The cat was okay, I'm assuming, right?
It's got... You're assuming
it's
wrong.
It's got nine lives.
You are assuming this must have
it
been
burned
it.
Burned up
this,
a few of them?
I assume it was the ninth.
Oh, no.
It sounded like a bomb went off.
Okay, you may not believe me, but I just had a bald eagle drop a cat through my windshield.
That's your 911 call.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, good. That's probably how you should start that call. Yeah. Guys... This sounds far-fetched, but it's the truth.
As someone with the last name Schlarb, she obviously has a good sense of humor. She's been hearing it her entire life. She's like, this is nothing.
It absolutely shattered my windshield.
I could see the cat in my passenger seat. I have guts all over me.
Oh.
Yeah. That was like exploded.
Cat guts.
Like, she's legit very lucky this thing landed in the passenger seat instead of, like, in her lap. It killed her.
But, and it'd be gross, yeah.
But gross.
Yeah,
real
gross.
First gross,
yeah,
second baby dead.
Yeah.
There's glass everywhere. Thankfully, the cat was dead.
Her words, not mine.
Dale Earnhardt?
her words.
What are we talking about?
Thankfully, the cat was dead.
Thankfully.
Lord.
Good news.
Jeez. Some people like cats. No, but she's suggesting that it wasn't the fall or the windshield that... led to the death of the cat. The cat was long dead.
Yeah.
The eagle had already pierced its skin and stopped its
eagle used lives 1 through 9.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
People are wondering if the guy that was upset about the cat story before
might
call
in. Oh, it crossed my mind. That guy is probably somewhere shaking a fist on a ferry to Nantucket. Not real thrilled.
Only one cat was harmed in the making of this story.
Long before it ever hit my windshield, I could tell its insides were outside. A sheriff's deputy pulled up just to check on me, and two wildlife officers pulled up as well.
Melissa called her insurance.
You're going to be the talk of my entire division for quite a while. She's like, we never hear stories like this.
It's got to be an act of God, right? That's an act of God, I would think.
Act of God. Is that an act of God?
I don't think you're covered. I think that's an act of God.
Let's see. Oh.
But, of course, insurance is a battle, so I'm trying to get them to, help me out.
She feels fortunate that the cat landed on the passenger side windshield instead of hers, giving advice to anyone out on the road.
What advice could you possibly give? Watch out for flying cats.
Like a cat, I'm very curious as to what this advice is going
to
be.
I'd like to hear it.
Just definitely keep your eyes peeled.
Good.
Head on a swivel.
Okay. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, sure. That's. I think my little league coach gave me that advice when I was out there. Make sure you're looking.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to see out there.
Good stuff. Right. Whether you're crossing the street, playing pickup basketball, or driving your car, keep your eyes peeled.
She's the one who's been through some stuff. His advice, she's experienced. This is her advice.
She has strong words for many people out there.
Just definitely keep your eyes peeled.
Definitely.
Even the things you don't expect to happen, they will.
Melissa, so far, is frustrated with her insurance company.
All right, so now it's another whole story. So the story is
they're not covering that.
They are not.
There's no way that insurance company is covering that. No chance.
They told her so far that the tow will not be covered. She says she's going to keep calling back with the hope that at least the windshield will be covered in this freak wreck.
The tow.
Reporting from Bryson City, Kimberly King, News 13.
Yeah, that's sort of unfortunate. So on the one hand, you're thrilled that, you know, you didn't die. On the other hand, you got to pay for the tow and the windshield.
Well, the tow confused me for a moment. I was like, I think
she means
paw.
Toe.
I think she means paw.
Right, of course. No, that's probably under the seat somewhere. There's probably still remnants of that cat.
It's lucky, I think.
It exploded
lucky
next
cat,
to her.
Lucky cat foot. I wouldn't think a
cat would cause that kind of damage. Like, that must have been really high in the sky.
Oh, eagles are up there.
I thought it would, like, bounce off the windshield. Eagles went right through.
No, eagles are way up there.
Yeah, eagles fly high. They fly real high. Cat wasn't doing that.
Oh,
no.
No, not anymore.
No.
Text line is...
Just definitely keep your eyes peeled.
Very, very upset that this is another cat story.
Oh, listen, I didn't see
what
this
is it
one
with
out.
You guys and violence towards cats?
It's not violence. It's natural
That's
selection.
Nature. Yeah. It's Darwinism is what it is.
Darwinism.
Yeah. Thank you. Text line, check Keith's basement for a cat torture dungeon.
I just stay away from them. I got no cats in my house. No cats.
Okay.
There's a sign actually out front that says no cats.
Her premium is going up, I'm telling you. Because this bald eagle is just dropping a cat.
Oh, you don't have eagle insurance?
That's an act.
Says here you don't have eagle insurance.
It's an act of God. They can worm out of pretty much anything.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Tough stuff.
Okay. Well, that's the madness. Every Tuesday, most Thursdays, here on Jones and Keefe. You can dial us up. 617-779-7937. Anthony Jennings has a turkey drive with Pop Douglas. He'll tell us about that. We'll ask him about the Giants game coming up. The thoughts from last weekend coming out of the victory over the Bengals. We don't want to keep them waiting. So we'll talk to Anthony Jennings, and we'll mix in some more Patriots thoughts, as well as all the latest on Sonny Gray next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.